Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we have a really special show for you, neighbors. It is, of course, with our guest co-host, Kurt Collins. Call him Kelleher. And he is one of the three authors of Skinwalkers at the Pentagon. And one of his other authors, of course, is George Knapp. And Colm and George also did Hunt for the Skinwalker. So this is an interesting perspective here. What are the Skinwalkers of the Pentagon, an insider's account of the government's secret UFO program? Thank you so much for coming on the PowerCast, first of all. Very glad to meet you. And I want to start with something that just came out, so we are both probably fully unacquainted with it, which is from the headline at CNN. Pentagon announces plans to streamline UFO reports and analysis. And I kind of co-titled that, do we need yet another UFO study group? What's your opinion?
Well, from what I've seen of the news so far, I believe that the organization that's going to be a part of this UFO study will be sequestered at the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. And my feeling is that it's probably not going to be adequately funded. I was very enthusiastic about Senator Kirsten Gillibrand's amendment because I felt her amendment really sort of put into focus a much broader aspect of UFO study than I think would be ever possible at this Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. That's just my opinion. Having dealt with a lot of membership of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence over the years, I'm less than enthusiastic about the announcement.
The thing I wonder about here is we have a Pentagon UAP task force. And right. Now say, okay, we're not going to have that. We're now going to have the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. Now, I just think here, who do they hire to come up with these idiotic names, which is not part of the serious discussion? In fact, just before we started, I'm going to hit you with this, then go into a serious discussion. Kurt came up with one, UAP Identification Group, which would sound great, except it's pronounced U-Pig.
Right. Yeah, well, that may actually be a lot more catchy and probably generate a lot more news headlines. So I would tend to go with that.
Right, but what is the point of all this? What do they gain by changing the names?
Well, I guess the real question is, are they changing the focus and are they changing the personnel? Because I know that the personnel that were involved in the lead up to the June 25th, 2021 report were very smart people, very capable people. And I really have no idea of what this whole new announcement means in terms of are personnel getting transferred? Are they getting reassigned? Are new people coming in with no sort of history or background of this? Those questions I haven't taken the time this morning to take a look at this yet, but they're mostly the questions I have.
The thing I would wonder too is, it's like stopping in the middle of your tracks and playing Pentagon musical chairs. Now, we know that this is not the first time they've changed names. Back in the 40s and 50s, we had Project Sign and Project Grudge and then Project Blue Book, and they were playing that game then. So is this just repeating the same old game, or is this something they think will really get to a point where they can do something serious?
Well, I think that really is the question. Certainly, there was a lot of activity behind the scenes leading up to the June 25th, 2021 report. But after that, there has been sort of a couple of announcements. There's been no data whatsoever released. So it may be just a game of musical chairs, but I'm hoping the USDI is not where the music stops.
You know, this should take us back to the beginning story here. Now, your book was 2005, I think, Hunt for the Skinwalker, that you and George Knapp did. Now, before we get into the current book and look at the kind of information you provide, wasn't that, as I recall, a focus on strictly the paranormal events at the Skinwalker Ranch that wasn't just UFOs?
Well, the Skinwalker Ranch had both. There was both the so-called nuts and bolts, metallic-looking objects that were sighted by the family who owned the property all the way up to August of 1996, when Robert Bigelow and NIDS purchased the property. They had seen what looked like metallic objects, and that was they were co-located with paranormal phenomena and a lot of inexplicable, weird stuff that happened. After Robert Bigelow purchased the property in August of 1996, the NIDS team were installed on the property. Sensors were installed. Dogs and animals were on the property, too. And for the next 6 years, a lot of research was done. But during that research, I mean, I personally saw what looked like a completely silent aircraft that came right over me it was November of 1996, came right over me, did a perfect U-turn. This was at night, but it was low enough you could see structure behind the light. So, again, we were talking about a nuts and bolts object that came right over, did a perfect U-turn, and went back north right over the Skinwalker, what was called the Skinwalker Ridge, which was the mesa that was going the north end of the Skinwalker property. So I saw that. I also interacted with a lot of other weird stuff that I couldn't really explain. But during the OSAP program, we had a lot of military intelligence people on the property. One or a couple of those people saw what looked like metallic objects also on Skinwalker Ranch. And then finally, Robert Bigelow sold Skinwalker Ranch in March of 2016 to Brandon Fugel, who has been running the Skinwalker Ranch since then for the last 5 years. And Brandon Fugel has also reported, he's gone on the record, saying that he also has seen these quote-unquote metallic-looking objects, nuts and bolts crafts. So what we have really with Skinwalker Ranch is a probably a central core of what looked like metallic-looking objects. And then surrounding that core, there's a litany of unusual activity. Strange-looking animals are reported. Cattle mutilations used to occur with alarming frequency on the property. Discarnate voices, poltergeist phenomena, these unusual orbs of light that used to flit around the property. So you've got a co-location at the same time as the metallic UFOs that are seen on the property. So I would not sort of dissociate those two. I would say they're co-located. They're occurring at the same time in the same place.
Okay, the big question, of course, we have here is how do we relate Skinwalkers and that original book and the progression to the new book to the Pentagon research? Because the Pentagon's not looking for any of that stuff. They're looking strictly for what appear to be metallic objects. Or am I wrong?
Well, that goes back to the history of the 2008 to 2010 OSAP program, which was a program run from the funded through the Pentagon. The Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies was a contractor that was hired to execute the Pentagon UFO program. So for 27 months, we executed that program, and right from the get-go, both the Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies side, but also the team at DIA, mutually agreed upon that we would follow the data, quote-unquote.
Colin Kelleher, book is Skinwalkers of the Pentagon. A lot more to talk about. Our guest co-host is Kurt Collins. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so we're going back to this period column of, 2008 to 2010.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to confuse you, but then there was a period of time there, and I think it was before then, where NIDS was contracting with MUFON to do investigations?
That was actually, wasn't NIDS. NIDS terminated in 2004. The Pentagon UFO program with the Defense Intelligence Agency initiated in September of 2008. So part of that two-year program that is the subject of the book involved a purchase agreement with MUFON, in which MUFON agreed to essentially flow a lot of their best cases to OSAP or BAS. And so BAS and MUFON collaborated very, very closely for about a year during the execution of the OSAP program. All of the money came through the Defense Intelligence Agency, flowed through BAS, and some of that money was used to pay MUFON for access to their best cases. And it turned out to be a very, very professionally run collaboration. We had weekly teleconferences with the program manager, whose name, I believe, was Richard Lang on the MUFON side. And we had a couple of program managers on the OSAP side. And the relationship was actually very productive. We would go through cases on a weekly basis, and then BAS would task a investigative team to go to wherever these really good cases were, and reports would be written up and they would be submitted to the Defense Intelligence Agency as deliverables for this $22 million contract.
The thing I'm worried about here is what I heard tended to be negative. At some point, MUFON and BAS had a falling out. Is that true?
Well, I think as time went on, yeah, there was a disagreement about the priorities between BAS and MUFON, or OSAP and MUFON. I'm going to use, by the way, during this talk, I'm going to be using OSAP and BAS interchangeably because there is no daylight between those two organizations. BAS was the organization used to execute the OSAP contract. To answer your question, there was a disagreement between allocation of resources, but for the majority of the program between BAS and MUFON, it was an extremely productive arrangement, and it worked out really well.
I don't know if Ian wants to talk some more about the relationship with MUFON, but we kind of skipped over a bit when we went from the Skinwalker book into OSAP. So I happen to know that your co-author had something to do with that. So tell us a little bit about Dr. Lukasky, who he is, and how he came into things.
Yes, Dr. Lukasky was a ballistic missile physicist or engineer that was a DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, analyst for many years. In July, I believe it was early 2007, Lukasky actually read our George Knapp's book and my book, Hunt for the Skinwalker, and was pretty interested in what was going on there. So he contacted a friend of his, another Defense Intelligence Agency person, whose name is Axelrod, and he's named in the book. And both of them were extremely intrigued at the possibility that there was a lot of unusual technology flying unhindered around and over Skinwalker Ranch. So Lukasky, after discussing with his internal supervisors, wrote a letter to Robert Bigelow, who owned Skinwalker Ranch in 2007, and pretty soon after that, Robert Bigelow invited Lukasky onto the ranch. And during that time, Lukasky was on the ranch for about 2 hours. And during that time, he was exposed to a sort of a very unusual sighting, a close-up sighting of what looked like a metallic curved device only a few feet away from him in the house of the ranch manager. This had a big effect on Lukasky, because he was not accustomed to walking into a house and seeing a metallic, weird-looking device appearing in the room. So 2 hours later, he left the ranch and went back to his colleagues at Defense Intelligence Agency and discussed the possibility of Defense Intelligence Agency launching a program to study the kinds of devices that he had just seen. So long story short, Robert Bigelow also got involved, and Senator Harry Reid, who was the Senate Majority Leader, and two other senators came together and executed a request for proposals that went on the normal website for these proposals. Bass answered this proposal from the DIA to look at exotic technology, to look at threat analysis of UFOs. So that's how the OSAP program was born. Defense Intelligence Agency received a lot of interest from different organizations, aerospace organizations, but Bass essentially won the contract. Defense Intelligence Agency rejected some of the proposal from Bass, but they accepted about four separate line items in the proposal, and that was how the OSAP program, the two-year program to study UFOs associated with Skinwalker Ranch, but also throughout the United States and globally, was born.
Now, I wanted to ask you something here to kind of clarify this, because I know there's a section in the book about it, which is, of course, we're talking about OSAP and Bass, but the version, the name publicized in that New York Times article was ATIP.
Right.
Now, but ATIP technically doesn't really do anything. It was OSAP that was doing the work.
Yeah, that's correct. One of the main reasons that we decided to write the book, Lukasky decided to write the book, I joined him, and George Knapp joined him, was because in December of 2017, the New York Times broke an article about the Pentagon's secret UFO program, and they essentially said a $22 million program at the Pentagon called ATIP was being funded during 2008 to 2010. That simply was not the case. The fact was the name of the program was OSAP, and ATIP was just a nickname that Senator Harry Reid had used in a letter to Deputy Defense Secretary William Lynn in order to initiate the process of special access program for OSAP. So it was a nickname that was adopted much later on in the Pentagon for a much smaller effort that was focused on military pilot sightings on aircraft carriers, both on East and West Coast. So there was really a mix-up from the get-go. So for 4 years between 2017 and 2021, there was this constant media drumbeat about ATIP, this $22 million program.
Colm Kelleher is here to talk about what went on with this government program with Gene and Kirchrin,
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New concerns about COVID-19 now that a new variant has been discovered, and many are concerned it's going to be a fast spreader. Dr. Anthony Fauci telling Weekend Today it would not surprise him if this new Omicron variant is already in the United States. Starting Monday, the Biden administration is closing America's borders to travelers from 8 African nations. It was first detected in South Africa, so that's why they're targeting that portion portion of the world for now. Officially, no cases have been identified yet in the United States. The show business world remembering Stephen Sondheim, the Broadway composer and lyricist, died Friday in Connecticut at 91. Barbara Streisand tweeting, "Thank the Lord Sondheim lived to be 91, so he had time to write such wonderful music and lyrics." And this is USA Radio News. Abortion will be front and center before the Supreme Court again, as the High Court will hear arguments on Monday that challenge the state of Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban. This case, known as Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, is a challenge to what pro-choice activists have called a blatantly unconstitutional abortion ban. Mississippi's 2018 Gestational Age Act prohibits abortions after 15 weeks. The exceptions do include rape and incest. It's been referred to, though, as a direct attack on Roe v. Wade. SpaceX may have run into a snag when it comes to expanding its Starlink internet service. According to Reuters, India is asking Starlink to immediately stop booking satellite internet service in their nation until it has an actual license to operate. Find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. And this is USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, of course, we know the people who did the New York Times article. One, of course, was Helene Cooper, who's the Pentagon correspondent. Leslie Kane, someone I've known for years. Ralph Blumenthal, but they never, Colum, ever corrected this or tried to explain this disparity of the naming?
To my knowledge, they did not. And that discrepancy kind of overlaid the four-year sort of media extravaganza that happened since 2017. So the purpose for us writing the book was essentially to correct the record that not only was the name wrong, but the actual scope of the program was completely wrong, because the only thing that has been reported in 4 years in the media has been focused only on the Tic Tac sighting, which is the military pilot sighting off the west coast of California in 2004, plus a lot of other UAP sightings that derive from military aircraft pilots, F-18 pilots, both on east and west coasts in restricted airspace. So the scope of the OSAP program was much, much larger than that. And again, that was another reason for us to write this book. We figured that the entire scope of the program, orchestrated by the Defense Intelligence Agency, was about 95% unreported, 5% was reported, and, obviously we wanted to correct the record.
Now, one other question here before we get on. Originally, Senator Harry Reid was among senators who got the funding for this. Senator Reid, we all know, was at that point Senate Majority Leader, a major force in Democratic politics. Robert Bigelow was a friend, but also one of his fundraisers, correct?
I know that there were occasions when he contributed to Senator Reid's campaign, but I would not in any way describe him as a fundraiser now.
Okay. So in the sense, though, is how did he even get involved in this? Was he fully aware of the work that you guys were doing?
He was very, very aware because Lakatsky and the team at DIA began interfacing through the congressional affairs with Senator Reid. So Senator Stevens and Senator Inouye from Hawaii quickly became involved in this. So this became a quote-unquote bipartisan drive very quickly from the get-go. So the long and the short of it was that once the money was appropriated, it was put out for absolute sort of straight and narrow. It was like any other request for proposals that ends up on the website that used to be called Fed BizOps, but is now called SAM.gov. You know, bottom line is NASA publishes proposals there, DOE, DOD. So the DIA proposal went on the web on the FBO website, and it was answered, you know, as I mentioned, with a lot of expressions of interest from different aerospace companies. So the concept that this somehow was an inside track maneuver was not the case at all. It was a straight request for proposals. A proposal went in. It was part of it was rejected. Some of it was accepted. And the contract was issued.
Colm, I wanted to ask you about what you said earlier, and this fits right in. So you said that there's not much daylight between OSAP and BASS. So tell us, once the contract, which you know wasn't explicit about UFOs, it was more about aerospace developments and far term and things like that. So when that was accepted, based on the ATIP article that we've read, it sounded like there was a Pentagon office, but was BASS really the program and Dr. Lakatsky, I mean, was he like a handling in bureaucratic manners? It sounds like, based on your book, did BASS produce all the work and, you know, was there anything at the Pentagon? Did they contribute anything or did they just receive?
Well, they... you know, they were involved deeply with the genesis of the program. And once the program was initiated, you know, the actual taskings were negotiated between the BASS organization and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Lakatsky and his team were the point people during that negotiations and his superiors. So during that process, there was a lot of give and take and, it was decided from the get-go from both the BASS side, but also the DIA side, to study not only the nuts and bolts part of the UFO equation, but also any effects on humans, whether or not it's like physiological effects, medical effects, pathological effects, psychological effects, or any of the effects that are all the way out through so-called paranormal effects. So it was decided from the get-go that not only was this a straight and true UFO program, but it was also going to look at the full scope of UFOs, including their human effects. Now, that's a very messy proposition, and it goes way beyond the normal bureaucracy that you find in government. So we happened to hit upon a very enlightened team at the Defense Intelligence Agency. And in answer to your question, did they just receive? No, they set up the entire security infrastructure because there were classified aspects of this program. So they set up the security infrastructure for the buildings that were renovated in Las Vegas and that had to conform to security inspections from the National Security Agency in order to conform to handling secret and top secret material. So in addition, they went through the whole process of making sure that the senior personnel in the BASS organization were exposed to rapid transit security clearances. So there was a lot of work that went in the first 4 months of this program to get the security infrastructure in place to make sure that all of communications that happened were absolutely above board.
Now, I noticed here in the top of the book, it says, Department of Defense, Defense Office of Pre-Publication and Security Review. So
right.
Why is that required, and did that impact the book at all?
Yeah, this was fully required, because this is the closest that you will ever come to an official expose of what the program, what the OSOC program was all about. So in order to do that, the book had to be submitted to the Department of Defense for a security review, so that any language in the book that was considered too sensitive or too it touched on top secret or above top secret issues was to be removed from the book or to be redacted or changed in some way. Secondly, there was a lot of emphasis to make sure that any medically sensitive information that was in the book was also edited out, to make sure that the identities of people were not disclosed with regard to sensitive medical information. And thirdly, there was a big focus in the review to make sure that any active duty military people or government people that were involved in the program were identified. That was basically the essence of the security review. Now, this took a complete 14 months to go through the various different agencies and departments.
We've got more to come, learning the backstory, the things you didn't know, the rest of the story about that Pentagon UAP program. Fascinating. With Colm and Jean and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's continue, Colin. It went through a 14-month review. Go on, please.
Yeah, the 14-month review was a lot longer than normal, but we were in the middle, obviously, of the coronavirus outbreak. So not a lot of people from DOPSR, which is the acronym for the publication office, were in the office every day. So it took 14 months. It should have taken a lot shorter. But it went through review at four separate agencies who were involved at various parts of this program, including Defense Intelligence Agency. So the book was cleared for publication in May of 2021, and we published it maybe in early October of the same year. But it is fully vetted, in other words, by the Pentagon and the Department of Defense.
Did you have to make any major changes?
We had to redact a lot of material that we had in the book. We had to change the names of a lot of people in the book because a lot of them were still active duty, government officials and military people. We had to make sure that there were no sensitive offices or officers identified. So they asked and they got a lot of changes. So there was nothing of substance that was changed in the book. And to be honest, I was really surprised that Appendix 1 in the book was not altered, because Appendix 1 is a line-by-line description of over 100 separate reports, including the titles and the contents of those reports that were submitted by BAS OSAP to the Defense Intelligence Agency as deliverables for this $22 million program. So over the course of 27 months, and that includes 24 months of program plus 3 months no-cost extension, there were over 100 separate reports that were delivered to the Defense Intelligence Agency. And all of those reports are itemized in detail in Appendix 1. I was really surprised that all of that level of detail made it into the book.
Now, the project itself, how did this impact your job in terms of security requirements and everything?
I went through, and many of the senior people at BAS, my function was to manage the day-to-day operations at Bass in Las Vegas. I was the person who connected and contacted with Dr. Lukatsky at Defense Intelligence Agency. So we would be on telephone calls and site visits, but telephone calls at least once, maybe twice a week, and then site visits every few months. So we were in very, very close contact. So the security infrastructure was put in place very quickly for the program in Las Vegas, and that includes accreditation processes for the buildings and then security clearances for the personnel.
Now, we hear a lot of publicity here about people who may have been involved in this, like Luis Elizondo, who right now, of course, in his retirement, is running around preparing a book, doing media appearances. Did you interact with him?
Yes, we did. Actually, one of the chapters in the book, we talk about this lengthy dinner that occurred in a Washington, D.C. restaurant where Lukatsky's team and teams from other agencies, there were interagency experts assigned, loosely assigned to this program. And so everybody met for dinner in this Washington restaurant. We were discussing, you know, sensor applications on Skinwalker Ranch. Lou Elizondo was one of the people that was at that dinner as a part of the USDI. He was a subject matter expert in counterintelligence for USDI. So this was back in, I think it was summer 2009. So this was, 8 years before he retired from USDI, 8 years before he went, you know, became part of the New York Times expose. So Lou Elizondo was part of the Washington D.C. East Coast part of the team. He was not involved in any of the investigations, but he was part of the counterintelligence part of the OSAP program.
Was he a leader of any sort?
Not in our program, no. But as time went on, I understand that his relationship with the UAP continued beyond the termination of the OSAP program. The OSAP program terminated in December of 2010. So I know Lou Elizondo went on, you know, for many years afterwards, and he was part of a small effort at the Pentagon.
Okay, did you release a final report to the Pentagon from the work of OSAP?
Yes, we did. And it was essentially a focus on whether or not the data supported designating UAPs or UFOs as threat. And the bottom line that we came to was that UFOs are medically dangerous sometimes, and they cause physiological, pathological, and medical injuries. But there's no way that there's enough data to classify them as a threat. One of the things that we came to with in many discussions with the DIA and with other organizations in the Pentagon was that in order to designate threat, you've got to have two components. And one is capability and the other is intent. And we had a lot of data on what UFO capability was, but we had zero data on what the intent was. So we were not able to designate UFOs as a threat. We were able to designate UFOs as a threat to human health. But, you know, that presupposes a whole bunch of unanswered questions. Like, for example, if people are injured, and we documented several cases of UFO injuries during the OSAP program, if people are injured, is it because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, or is it because they're deliberately attacked by, you know, quote-unquote UFO? There was no indication in terms of agenda throughout all of the data that we looked at that UFOs were a threat.
Now, this brings up some cases earlier on in the UFO field. Don't know if you were familiar with them. One that Kurt has studied into for quite a while is the Cash Landrum case from the 1980s, where there was the possibility of what seemed almost like radiation poisoning, and then, of course, the Rendlesham Forest UFO encounter in the UK. Are you familiar with those cases?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Were the physiological effects similar to what you folks discovered?
Actually, in the Cashlandrum case, a lot of the physiological effects had some overlaps with what we found. Also, yeah, there was a particular case. I'll give you an example of what we ran into. There was a biotechnologist who was driving with his daughter in Oregon. When he noticed, or she noticed, actually, the passenger noticed, there were three small UFOs that were moving around in the field beside them. And once she saw them, these three objects came right in towards the car. Two of the objects entered the car. One of them went right across the windshield. One of the objects entered the driver's left shoulder, went through his body, and exited out his right shoulder. And during that process, you know, he felt pretty weird. But within a couple of days, he noticed that he had intense sunburn on the left side of his face. His eyes started watering. His ear, he lost the use of his hearing. And then his hair started falling out on the left side of his head. And he went through a whole process that ended up that he had a rare form of ductal cancer that luckily was not metastatic cancer, but he had to be treated, and he went through a litany of medical injuries that were ascribed to this particular case. So in many ways, the sort of the classic way of interpreting those injuries that he got was some form of non-ionizing radiation, which has a lot of overlap with what a couple of the people at Cashlandrum ran into.
Colm Kelleher is talking with us, giving us some information that you never heard before. Folks, with Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.